privilege for me to be here in this chapel. I've never been here before. I've been in Edmonton 2 or 3 times at the conference some years ago, but I've never been here in this chapel. I'm glad to be here and to meet you all. Some of you have met before, and I'm looking forward to this week and getting to know you a little better. Trust the Lord. Oh, bless His word to each of our hearts. As you can see from the advertisement cards, we're going to be thinking this week of a very important subject, and that subject is the church. We're going to ask ourselves a number of questions about the church. As you can see, each evening we'll try to answer some questions, and we're going to answer lots of questions in addition to the ones that are in the card. And we're going to start off with a very basic and foundational question. And that question is, what is the church anyway? For a lot of people, as we'll see, have different ideas of what the church is. And so it's important for us to know what the church is. And that's exactly the question that we're going to confront today. We're going to answer all these questions, not from me, but from the Word of God. The Bible gives the answer to these questions. The Bible is authoritative and reliable and infallible and inerrant. The Bible is absolutely true, and we can trust it. And so we are going to look at the Bible to see what answers it gives to these questions. There are many rules of understanding the Bible and of interpreting the Bible. And there are 2 laws that I want specially to mention to you. One is the law of first mention. And you could work that out in your own minds. The law of first mention simply states that the very first occurrence of a subject in the Bible is a very important clue and guide to its meaning. And then there's a law of progressive development or progressive revelation. And that law states that throughout the pages from that first mention, you can trace that subject through the Bible. And if you're going to understand any subject, you should start with the very first occurrence and then take its occurrence through the pages of Holy Scripture. Now we're going to look at the very first occurrence of the word church in the Bible. And then we're going to look at some of the development of this subject through the Bible. You may be surprised to know that we don't find the word church in the Old Testament. The first occurrence of the word in the Bible is in the New Testament. If you have your Bibles with you, I'd like you to turn with me to Matthew's Gospel. And we're going to listen to the words of the Lord Jesus. And he was the first to speak about the church. In Matthew chapter 16, and we'll read from verse 15, and there we read that he, the Lord Jesus, said unto them, his disciples, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That, I believe, is one of the most important verses in the Bible. The Lord Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. And that's the first time you read this word in the whole Bible. Let's turn to the second and third times, and they are in the same chapter. As a matter of fact, they're in the same verse in chapter 18 of Matthew. Matthew chapter 18. And we'll jump into the story at verse 17. The Lord Jesus said, And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. That's the second and third time. Now the fourth time is in the Acts of the Apostles. The Acts of the Apostles. And Acts chapter 2. And this, as we're going to see, is the very first chapter in church history. Acts chapter 2 and verse 46. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be or were being saved. Number 4. And number 5 is in Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. And we'll read verse 9. Then Peter said unto the fire, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. I'm sure the Lord is going to bless the reading of his holy word. Let's bow for a moment in prayer, please. O God, our Father, we pray thy blessing upon these young people who have just been here and gone to their classes. We pray that thou wilt guide and help their teachers, and grant that some of them today may come to know the Lord Jesus as personal Savior. And here we are gathered in this room to hear thy voice. We pray that thou wilt speak to our every heart. We thank thee that thou dost know every one of us. Most of us here know the Savior and are going to heaven. It may be there are some here who don't know him. We pray that today thou wilt speak to our every heart. Grant that we may not only get to know some of the truths of thy word, but that above all we may get to know the Savior, the living word. We pray thy blessing upon us in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is the church? What do you think the church is? Mr. or Mrs. Average Person, if you were to ask them what the church is, John Jones or Mary Smith, might think, first of all, a building, something like this. Sometimes they think of a building with a steeple and a cross. They think of people going into that building, maybe on a Sunday morning. If they'd ever been in, they would know that it was, they would listen to a sermon, and they would engage in some ceremonial or ritual, and they'd say, that's a church. That's a church. If they think again, if they ever do think about these things, they would remember that sometimes the word church is applied to something else. Sometimes it's applied to a denomination. They would think of the Catholic Church, or the Presbyterian church, or the Baptist church. They would think of a church like that. Now, strange as it may seem to you, we don't find any of these two concepts of church in the Bible. We don't find anything like that about the church. There's obvious reasons why we don't find them. First of all, in the Bible days, I don't think we're ever told about them building a special building like this to meet it. Nothing wrong with building a building like this. It's good to have it when we've got so many people here. We are several times, four times altogether, I believe, read in the Bible about the church that is in people's homes. And it would seem that the church met in people's homes. And that very thought reminds us that the church in the Bible was not a building, but the people who were in it, the people who composed the group that were in that building. Oh, you see, but I thought sometimes it talks about the church as a building. In fact, the first passage you read this morning said, I will build my church. But you see, the Lord Jesus wasn't building an edifice like this or a stately cathedral. He was building something far more important and far more impressive. He was building people. People who belong to his church. He said, my church. And the second thing is that the Bible, in Bible days, the Bible didn't visualize any group of people like a denomination throughout the world that constituted a church. For the very simple reason that in that day the church wasn't divided into a lot of denominations. In our day there are lots and lots of denominations that call themselves churches. I'm told that at the turn of the century, there were 1,900 different denominations. And in 1982, there were 22,000 different so-called Christian denominations. But in the Bible, there were no Anglican churches and Catholic churches and Presbyterian churches. Nothing like that at all. So in Bible days, the church didn't consist of denominations at all. The word church, the word that we call church, is derived from Old English. And really that's derived from a Greek word, kuriakos. It doesn't sound very like it, but those of you who have any Scottish background will remember that in Scotland, the church is often called the kirk. And that's the same derivation as kuriakos. And that means belonging to the Lord. And that gives us a good idea what the church is. The church is composed of people who belong to the Lord, who have committed their lives to Him, who know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, and they are His church. He said, I will build my church. The original Greek word that's interpreted or translated church in the New Testament is the word ecclesia, the word from which we get the word ecclesiastic. And that word means called out. You see, those who are in the church are people who have been called out of the world to belong to the Lord. They have come to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Now, there is one occasion in the New Testament where this church is used of something else, entirely different. In Acts chapter 7, we are told about the church in the wilderness, that Moses was with the church in the wilderness. And that was the people of God in the wilderness. They weren't the church in the same sense as we think of it today, but they were called out. They were called out of Egypt to go to Canaan. They were God's own people, and they were called out. And in a similar way, we are called out, those who belong to the Lord, and we're on our way to heaven to spend eternity with the Lord. There's another occasion when the same word, church, ecclesia, is not translated church, but it's translated assembly. And it means a gathering of people in a city who had gathered together, and they were what we might call called out. They weren't all the citizens of that city, but they had assembled together. And the word assembly is a good name for church. So our first important point is that the church consists not of bricks and stones, but of people. They are called in the Bible living stones. And these people are people who belong to the Lord Jesus. People who have trusted Him as your Savior. I'm going to ask you, are you in that church? Are you in it? You can be in a church on earth and not be in the real church. You can belong to a congregation that calls itself an Anglican church or a Catholic church or whatever you may call it, and yet not belong to the Lord Jesus, and therefore not really be in the church at all. In order to be in the church, you have to come to know Him as your personal Savior by believing that He died for your sins and committing your life to Him as your Savior and Lord. Do you belong to the church? When we read the word church in the New Testament, it can mean one of two things. First of all, it can mean the whole church, universally, from its beginning to its ending. When the Lord Jesus said in that first passage, I will build my church. He was thinking of all the church, from the time when the church began to the time when it finished. We're going to look at that in a moment. And He was thinking of the church universally, all that belonged to the Lord Jesus. And it's obvious that all that belong to the Lord Jesus couldn't always meet together in the same place at the same time. In the first instance, there became too many to meet together in the one place. In the second instance, these people were scattered over all the world and they couldn't meet together in the same place. One day, they're going to meet together all in the same place when we're called to heaven. And I'm looking forward to that glorious day. But in the meantime, there are people who belong to the church who can't meet together. And so in the New Testament, we find what are called local churches. A group of God's people who meet in a single given place, in a given locality, are to worship and serve the Lord. And these are called local churches. A local church is just a small model of the universal church. I said that at a meeting many years ago in the city of Belleville in Ontario. And at the end of the meeting, a gentleman came to me as he shook my hands and he said, "Do you know what a model is?" I said, "Well, I have an idea what a model is." He said, "Well, I'll tell you a story about a model." He told me this story that this young couple, just recently married, were at a function, and the husband was introducing his new bride to some of his fellow employees. And in introducing her, he said to his fellow employees, he says, "This is my wife. She's a model wife." Well, of course, the wife stuck out her chest and said, "Why, he thinks a lot of me." And then she began to wonder and worry. Did he really think that much of me? What did he really mean? So the next morning, when her husband was out at work, she took out the dictionary and she looked up the word model. And she discovered to her consternation that model means a miniature imitation of the real thing. A miniature imitation of the real thing. Well, that's exactly what the church is. It's a miniature representation of the whole church. And here in this building, there is a church that meets that's a miniature replica of the whole church. I was in India 2 years ago, the place of my birth, and my wife didn't accompany me, but I decided I'd like to bring her something home as a souvenir of India. And I did that. I decided I want to get her a necklace, an ivory necklace. I don't know whether she's brought it with her this trip or not. I didn't ask her. I don't know. But on that ivory necklace, at the very foot of it, just sits here, there is a little Taj Mahal. Those of you from India know about that beautiful building in North India. Now, this isn't the Taj Mahal that she has, but it looks very, very like it. It's very intricate and complicated, beautifully carved in ivory. And it's a model of the Taj Mahal. It's a miniature representation of the Taj Mahal. And that's what a church is. It's a representation of the whole church in a local area. And that's what we should be. The characteristics of the whole church should apply to the local church. Now, when we read the New Testament, we discover that these local churches are described in different ways. For example, sometimes they are described in relation to the one who possesses them, the person who possesses them. They are called the churches of God, or the churches of Christ, because God and Christ is the owner of these churches. Sometimes they're described in relation to the people who are in them. For example, they are described as the churches of the saints. For every person in a church is a saint, set apart for God to use for his glory. It's described sometimes as Laodiceans, the churches of the Laodiceans, or the churches of the Thessalonians. They were the people who were in it. And sometimes these churches are described on the basis of the place where they were. For example, we read of the churches of Galatia, or the churches of Asia. That's where they were, the churches of Asia. We don't ever read about the church of Asia, or the church of Galatia, because Galatia was a great province, just like Alberta. And we don't read of something like the Church of Alberta or the Church of Canada, but we read of the churches of Alberta and the churches of Canada. So we can describe it by the person who possesses them, by the people who are in them, or by the place where they are. Now we're going to ask very simply four very simple questions. We're going to ask, first of all, when did this church begin? Its commencement. When did it begin? Well, we notice that word that the Lord Jesus spoke the first time he spoke about the church. We are told, "I will build my church." When I was at school, the words "will build" meant future tense. In other words, what the Lord Jesus said was something that hadn't happened up till that time. It was going to happen. And he said he was going to build it. Notice these very, very important words, "I." He's the builder. It wasn't Peter to whom he asked the question and who made that great confession. He didn't build the church.
And it wasn't any angels who built it. It was the Lord himself. He built it. Notice secondly, I will build. It's in a future tense. It happened, hadn't happened until then. Notice thirdly, build, because that describes the church as something that's progressive and developing down through the centuries until the building's completed and the Lord Jesus is working on it today. Notice fourthly, it's my church. It belongs to him. It doesn't belong to Peter or any so-called descendants of Peter. It belongs to the Lord Jesus. I will build my church, for it's the church of Christ. The body of people composing those who belong to the Lord. I will build my church. Well, if it wasn't begun then, when did it begin? At the end of Acts 2, in the fourth occurrence of church in our King James Bibles, we read that the Lord added daily to the church those who were being saved. So the church was started then. When did it start? I suggest it's fairly obvious it started at Pentecost. And I suggest it's fairly obvious because certain things were to take place before the church could be started. First of all, the Lord had to purchase it. He had to pay the price. And we are told in the Epistle to the Ephesians that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. You see, he paid the supreme price. He gave himself. And that happened at Calvary. So the church couldn't begin before Calvary. And secondly, the church has to have a living head, and the Lord Jesus is the living head, ascended to God's right hand. He's the head of the church. He's not only the builder, he's the head. And so the church couldn't begin till he ascended to God's right hand, having risen from the dead. And so it must have begun after his ascension. And then thirdly, we are told that Christians are baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body, the one body which is the church. And the Spirit is the medium in which we are baptized into the church. So the church couldn't begin until the Spirit of God came down at Pentecost. And so we conclude that the church began on the day of Pentecost that we read up in Acts chapter 2. That's the beginning of the church. And that chapter is a very important chapter in the Bible. It's the chapter of the church's birthday. It's the first chapter in church history. And there are many other chapters down through the centuries. Every chapter in Acts of the Apostles is another chapter in church history. And today is another chapter is being written. What's characteristic of each chapter? Well, what's characteristic of each chapter of church history is that other people are being added to the church. Other people are being added to the church. And that brings us to our second question. Our first question was, when did it begin its commencement? Our second question is, who are in it? Its composition. Its composition. Well, we're told in that chapter in Acts 2 that the Lord added, notice it wasn't Peter that added, he preached the great sermon at Pentecost, but it doesn't say that Peter added to the church, it was the Lord himself who added. And whom did he add? He added those who were being saved. And there's the group of people who were added to the church, those who are being saved, those who belong to the Lord Jesus, those who are saved from their sins. And only they are added to the church. That's who composed the church. One day the church is going to be in heaven, as we're going to see a week from today. One day the church is going to be in heaven. Who are going to be in it in heaven? Only those who are saved. And so it's a very important question for me to ask you, are you saved? Are you saved? Have you trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Do you know the joy of salvation? I'm glad I do. I was only a boy of 9 when I trusted Christ as my Savior, but I'm saved. And you can be saved today. Let me tell you how you can be saved. It's the same message that was given 19 centuries ago and more by Paul and Silas. They said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's the only way of salvation. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. There's only one way of salvation. The Lord Jesus said, I am the door, by me if any man enter and he shall be saved. He said, I'm the door. There's no other way of salvation. The Bible over and over again stresses that. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's only one way of salvation. And Jesus Christ, the Lord from heaven, is that only way. And you can be saved today by trusting Him as your Savior. Salvation involves a lot more than being in the church. But it involves being in the church. It includes that. And the only way you can be in the church and the only way you can be saved for eternity is by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you believed? If you haven't, will you believe today and receive Him as your Savior? And that moment when you believe, you become a member of the church, which is His body. You become associated with all others who are in the church all over the world. You become associated with the Lord Himself because He becomes your Lord and friend and guide. You receive the blessing of salvation and eternal life, and you have a prospect of being in heaven forever the moment you trust Christ as your personal Savior. What a wonderful thing it is to be saved and to be in the church. Our third question is, and we're going to answer this very briefly, what is the church like? We thought of the commencement of the church and the composition of the church. What about the comparisons of the church? What's it like? In the New Testament, there are a number of beautiful pictures. And we could spend two or three studies thinking of each of these pictures. For example, the church is like a building. A building. The Lord Jesus is the builder. And those who are in the church are the living stones that comprise the building. And the purpose of this building is to be a holy temple unto the Lord. It's a holy building. And one day the building is going to be completed. The church is described as a bride. In the Epistle to the Ephesians, we're told, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. With the ultimate purpose of presenting it to Himself, a glorious church, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. A bride. And you and I who know the Lord Jesus as our Savior are part of that bride. The church is described as a body. We'll be thinking of this illustration. A body like your body and mine with different members, with a head in heaven and the members on earth. And each of these members has a very special ability, a gift that God has given to it to serve Him while it's here below. The church is described as a lampstand. Seven churches in Asia Minor in Revelation 1 to 3, they were like candlesticks or lampstands. For you see, the purpose of the church is to shed light to the world around us, to lighten the darkness of this world. The church is described as a flock. The Lord Jesus Christ said there will be one flock and one shepherd. And that flock composed of every sheep who's following the Lord Jesus is the church of Jesus Christ. And we could think of others, a city, a household, and so forth. These are all comparisons, pictures, illustrations of the church. Our last question. We've asked, when did it begin? Its commencement. Who are in it? Its composition. What's it like? Its comparisons. Finally, when will it be completed? When will it end? Its completion or consummation. We're going to think about this next Sunday evening in the will of the Lord. But let me just tell you just now that the church may end today. End today. Not in the end in the sense of being destroyed, but in the sense of being completed and being taken to be with Christ in heaven. It may end today. It may be that before this evening's service, we'll not be here to think of the church, but we'll be there with all the church, gathered together in heaven. What a glorious day that's going to be. When the Lord Jesus comes and raptures His people to heaven to be with Himself, then the church will come to its completion. I hope you'll be there on that day. For only those who are in the church will be raptured with the church. Only those who are saved will be caught up to be with the Lord in heaven. Only those who belong to the Lord will be among those who are Christ's at his coming and will be raised at that time. I trust you'll be one of them. If you're not one of them and you'd like to be one of them, there are those of us here who would like to help you to become one of them by putting your trust in the Lord Jesus. We'll be happy to help you in whatever way we can. I would be happy to help you. I'm going to be at the back after this service, and I'm going to be shaking your hands. And if you would like to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, don't go away without trusting Him today. We'd be happy to help you in whatever way we can. May the Lord bless you. Let us pray. Oh God, our Father, we thank Thee for the privilege we have had of being together in this way today. We thank Thee for the truths of Thy Word that we've been thinking of. They sound very simple to us, but they're very deep and full of meaning. We thank Thee for every one of them. We pray that Thou wilt help us to understand them more day by day. And we pray that if there are some amongst us who are not yet in that church and who don't know the Lord Jesus as personal Savior, that here this morning, Thou wilt grant that they may open their hearts and lives to receive Him, repent of their sins, turn from their sins to Christ, who died for their sins on the cross, and put their trust in Him as their personal Savior. Be with us now as we separate, and through the rest of this day and this week, grant us Thy blessing, for we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.